Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, to come together to hear thy word this morning. Believing, Father, that you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You who lived in your Son have come in this hour to show us how that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, knowing that your prophet William Branham received this revelation of your shout and so lived a life which was commensurate with that of your Son that people actually thought he was. Help us, Father, also to have that testimony in ourselves, that people, when they see us, they would see Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, actually, let's just continue to stand. We're going to read from Revelation chapter 21 and 22 to begin with before we go to Brother Branham's sermon this morning. And because it has to do with the bride, and from the NIV translation, so just bear with me if you've got a different translation with you, but he says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their heir. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I'm really looking forward to that time. "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." I like that. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues came and said unto me, Come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Now I'm just wondering myself, because this is the angel that had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And if you look in Revelation chapter 15, the seventh angel had the seven vials. Each messenger, or each angel in Revelations had one vial. But the seventh one had seven vials, just like the seventh one had all the complete seven church ages to be made known. So I'm just kind of wondering if this isn't the angel, that seventh one that Brother Branham said was familiar to him. You know, that was up in the cloud. Remember he pointed out the seventh one? If that wasn't him now. He said, "This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And isn't that exactly what Brother Branham did? He stood there and the bride was on preview. "And he carried me away in the spirit to the mountain, to a mountain great and high, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." Now, it's interesting also here where it says this holy city, this mountain coming down from heaven. How many have heard Brother Billy Paul's testimony where he talked about the mountain that was cut out without hands coming down? And it was quite almost terrifying because he's talking about he had this dream, and he asked Brother Branham about it. And he was in a small church, and Brother Branham came in. It was like a Wednesday night service. Brother Branham came in and said, "Come on, quickly, we've got to go. The Lord's coming." And somebody piped up and said, "Well, no man knows the day or the hour." And Brother Branham said, "But no man," it didn't say no man would not know the season or the time or something like that. So so anyway, another place, Brother Branham, when he quotes this scripture, and I'm not saying this to get off into anything, but it's just for food of thought. But Brother Branham said when he's reading this, he says, "And I saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven from God," Brother Branham said, "like a comet." Like a comet. And of course, they're all talking about Planet X, which is supposed to come not in 2012, but around 2028. there's a lot of these things, you know, we don't understand because we're not prophets. We can't get into that realm. But just for a little food of thought there, that Brother Brown did say the New Jerusalem would come down like a comet. And it's a holy mountain. All right. He said, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. And we know that's messengers, because the 12 were the, we have the elders of Israel, and we have the elders of, the apostles. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angels who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and as high as it is long. He measured its walls, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measure, which the angel was using. I believe a cubit is from the tip of the finger to the elbow. I'm not sure if my memory recalls, but at one time I thought that's what it was. And so anyway, it's 144,000 cubits, basically times 3 feet or 2 feet. You know, that's quite a wide wall by man's measure, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundation of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. Now, it's interesting. We did preach a sermon on this back in Who Is This Melchizedek? We showed the seven colors of the rainbow, what they meant, and we showed what each of the 12 stones, what they actually meant and who they stood for. Each one was for one of the tribes of Israel. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk, and what's interesting, because the Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. So see, the Word of God on his vesture was written, the Word of God. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anything who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, you know, I was talking with Brother Adam this morning on the way to church, just for a little side, but I was listening to Who Is This, or Greater Than Solomon Is Here, and you know, you think of David, and David lied, David committed adultery, David murdered. You know, I don't know too many believers that have done all three of those. I mean, I know some that have lied and some that maybe committed adultery, but I don't know anybody in this message that's murdered on top of that, and yet he's going to be there. So you think about the grace of God, and you look at Solomon. God wouldn't allow David to build the temple because of what he did, and yet Solomon did far worse. I mean, he allowed Ashtoreth poles and Ashtoreth temples and everything else before he died. You know, false worship, false, and yet he was in the line, the seed running through that line. It just amazes me, the grace of God. He can look at this vile body that gets messed up day in, day out, and like Paul said, a vindicated prophet of God said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? Or as when Sister Mary Graham had an interview with Brother Branham in 1964, and she said, Brother Branham, she said, why is it I just always feel so unworthy, so sinful? And Brother Branham said, well, that's nothing. He said, every day I feel that way. Now, when you recognize a great sovereign God and a great, truly, truly holy God, how can you not feel that way? How can you not look at yourself and say, there's no way to ever compare? And yet he said, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. There's got to be a way, and that way is the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. See. Now, it says, the nation will walk by its light. The kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought to it. Nothing impure will ever enter into it, nor will anything who does what is shameful and deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So it's going to be a family that's there. Revelation 22, the river of life. Then the angel showed me the river of river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great city street of the city. On each side of the river stood the trees of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. Hallelujah. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp, nor the light of a sun, for the Lord God will give them light. I like that, because right now, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you see, and that great light that we're walking in is going to be there to illuminate everything. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will need no light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servant the things that must soon take place. Jesus is coming. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am of thy fellow servants and with your brothers of prophets and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong, but let him who is vile continue to be vile. But let him who does right continue to do right, and let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And Brother John knows that those who practice magic arts they might begin doing it as something that's maybe a little bit on the innocent side, but eventually it gets darker and darker, doesn't it, John? And you see, because it's from the roots of Satanism. Okay. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Notice, whoever wishes. Don't hold it back from anybody, you see. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning we're going to continue our study of the message of Brother Branham's called The Spoken Word's Original Seed, the afternoon service. I'd like to begin reading from paragraph 57 through paragraph 60 for our text this morning. And let me just say, this was a very, very difficult message to bring, because we've covered so much of this already in the sermon. And I just want to try to keep it as pure to what he said as possible, just taking it from Genesis to Revelations, and that's it. But he said, now, I just got so much to say, and I just got to hurry over these things. Each one of them I want to preach on, see? Now watch, the true bride, hallelujah, there's going to be one. And when I saw that, I thought, well, glory to God, there's going to be one. And he says, why? Because she's predestinated. That's why I say, and Brother Vail, you know, a few weeks ago, he said, Brian, he said, we don't want to focus on the politics, what's going on. We want to focus on the promises. You know, we have promise in Ephesians 1, the whole chapter, in fact, the whole book of Ephesians, but beginning at verse 3, that we were in him before the foundations of the world, predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. That's a promise. that is yet to be fulfilled. Then we have verse 11 that says that it's for our inheritance. We know that we've got inheritance coming because we're predestinated unto the adoption of children. Then we got Romans 8 that tells us that the whole world, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for you to manifest what you are, sons of God. And then we have verse 29 that tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. You see, we have Galatians 4 that tells us how the process takes place. We have so many promises. We have revelations, what we read this morning about the bride, the Spirit and the bride saying the same thing. They say, come, whosoever will, let him come, let him drink. And we have all these wonderful promises that are for you and they're for me. So why would we want to focus on the garbage can, on the trash yard? Like Brother Branham said, when he wanted to just kind of stay a hermit and hunt, and Brother Branham showed him a dog in a burning old rubbish, a big old garbage place, rubbish burning everywhere, stinking, everything else. And Brother Branham said, and God said, that would be you if you fulfill what you want to do. But he said, it's not my will to do, but it's my Father's good pleasure. You see, just what Jesus said. He said, I wanted to be a trapper. I'm not the one standing here telling you these things as perfect as they are. He said, it's impossible for a man to do it. But he said, there's one who is doing it. God himself has come down, you see. And he said, I've just basically surrendered my will to him. That's all we need to do. Just get one thing out of the way, you. Get yourself out of the way. Just keep your focus. You know, girls, the hardest thing you have is, your focus is on the flesh. How do I look? How do people look at me? How do they perceive me? Forget it. Who cares? Focus on how God is looking at what's in here. That's what you're going to take with you. Character. Character. There's nothing that can substitute for it. Naked came you into the world. Naked, you're going to go out. So all the clothes, forget it. You're going without them. You know, it's funny they put the people's best clothes on when they die. They should just put them naked in the casket. Just seal it so nobody can see it. Just let them go back the way the Bible said. They're going to turn to dust anyway. Well, I'm not being dirty. I'm just saying that's the way. It's a foolishness. Well, dress them up. Make them look real nice. Show me a dead person that looks real nice. Now, come on. Most of them are all blue and they put on tons of makeup to make them look like they're not dead when they are. It's a body. It's a coat. It's like changing automobiles. Huh? It's a vessel. Forget it. Forget the pimp, the prompting and the pimping and what do they call it? You know, all the dressing up and stuff like that. I mean, nothing wrong to look nice. I'm not saying that either, because John, when he saw the New Jerusalem, he said she was like a bride adorned for her husband. But remember, Paul and Peter said, let your adorning be not with braided hair and all this stuff, but with a meek spirit and a gentle spirit. You see? That means more to God than anything. And that means more to a man than all the fashions you can wear, is a meek and gentle spirit. Now, as we read on, Brother Brown said, now watch, the true bride, hallelujah, there's going to be one. Why, she's predestinated. She won't be denominated because she's predestinated. She don't have to worry about some denomination. She's already predestinated to take the place. Now look, like Mary, I want you to get this now and don't fail. Are you ready? Say amen. Congregation replies amen. When Christ comes to his bride, she will be a virgin like Mary was. For God did not bring Christ through a womb of a whore. And neither will he bring the bride. He can't bring his word through a whore of his word. Those are horrible words, but that's what the Bible said. I'm saying what it says because it has to be said. It has to be understood. Now, Paul taught us the same thing as Brother Branham was saying right here. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 1, he said, would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Not just a virgin, but a chaste virgin. I want you to know that Paul, he espoused the bride of his day, just like Brother Branham was to introduce the bride in his day to the Word, to Christ. And Paul said he wanted to introduce her as a chaste virgin. Not just a virgin, but one who was chaste. Now, the Greek word Paul used that was translated as chaste was the word hagnos, which means properly, clean, i.e. figuratively innocent, modest, perfect, chaste, clean, and pure. And in the spiritual sense, it means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, consecrated, and holy. So not only was she clean, but she was in her mind, in her spirit, in her soul, she was modest, she was innocent, she was pure, she was clean, and she was perfect. Now, there are many virgins in the world who are vulgar and impure in many ways. You see some of these little girls, they haven't been touched by man yet, but they dress as though they have. They dress like they're, you know, at 3 years old, mama's got earrings in their ears. And the little girls are wearing things that, you know, expose the bodies. I remember when I was teaching school, the girls would come and they'd pack clothes in a bag like they're taking their lunch. And when they get to school, they change clothes. And some were wearing these tube tops. And so I was kind of different because I had about four or five windbreakers. And I'd stand at the door and I'd make the girls put on the windbreakers before they enter my classroom. And they say, why? I said, because I don't want the way you're dressed, I don't want you distracting these young guys in here. And, one of the parents, she called. I called her. I told her. I said, ma'am, do you realize how your daughter's dressed? She goes, well, I saw her when she left home. She was wearing this, this, this. I said, no, she's not. I said, she's wearing a tube top and this, this, this. And I said, ma'am, I said, you know, the way she's dressing, I said, she'll be pregnant by the time she's 16. Oh, not my little Susie. How naive can you get? Well, another parent, when I told her that, she said, well, you know, she's developing right now and I want her to be able to show it. I thought, well, what kind of a mother are you? So, you know, just because they haven't been touched by man, they're still a virgin, but yet are they a virgin in their hearts? By the age of 3 years old, they're already polluting their hearts. They're twisting their minds. This world is so vulgar, so vile. And I'm looking forward to the New Jerusalem. That's why I wanted to read it this morning. We're coming to a place no vile will be there. No impure will be there. No deceit will be there. Hallelujah. You can hardly go to the store without deceit. You know? And as I said, there's many virgins in the world who are vulgar and impure in so many ways. So just because they have not given themselves over to man does not mean that they have that innocence and that purity and that modesty and that cleanness about them, as Paul is describing here. And just because you might have come out of denominationalism and come into this message because you heard the midnight cry doesn't mean that you are pure and clean in your mind. He said, be therefore perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And we know that this is impossible without the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God, but it also speaks of a mindset that wants to be like Him. He said, if you be any otherwise minded, He'd reveal it to you. How many are asking Him to reveal it to you? Now, I know men and women in this message who can cuss like sailors. And that is so unbefitting their claims to be bride. Can you imagine your bride all dressed up and cussing all the way down the aisle? Well, aren't we kind of walking down the aisle right now? Watch your language. God's watching you. Every idle word will be given account of at the white throne. You think, well, I've got the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's also what? What's it called? Iniquity. And there won't be any iniquitous people in there. We have a promise of that. There will not be any iniquity. So if you know you're doing wrong and you do it anyway, what you're doing is you're thumbing your nose at God. You're thumbing your nose at the Word. You're going to be held accountable. You better get right now. Okay? As I said, I know men and women can cuss like sailors. And they say, well, I'm the bride because I believe God sent a prophet. Well, are you? And yet they think that they're bride material because they believe God sent a prophet and they believe the message of the hour. Well, glory to God. And they claim to be born again. But what life is living in them if they cuss and carry on the way they do? Now let me tell you something. There is a life that God has called us to, and we are to be as a bride adorned for her husband. Our focus should be on Him as His focus is on His bride. The bride doesn't come to the wedding wearing jeans and slacks and whatever she would like to wear. She comes dressed in white, without spot, without wrinkle. She comes adorned for her husband. That is why we see in the book of Revelations when John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So you see, there's a certain way she is to prepare herself and adorn herself for her husband. In fact, the scripture tells us that the bride hath made herself ready. That's Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. She's made herself ready. And to her was granted that we should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, I enjoyed Brother Marcus's sermon on Wednesday night. We filmed it in Poland and showed it to you. And for those that weren't here, I'll just explain. He said the blood of Jesus Christ is like an eraser on a pencil. And he gave an illustration of a young man who came in for an interview. And he said the boss, being kind of a type of God, he knew the questions beforehand. He had prepared the questions for the person. And the questions are usually to put the person on the spot to see what they're made out of. And so he asked the young man to fill out the questions with a pencil. He said, do you have a pencil? He pulled one out of his pocket. It was a pen, didn't have an eraser on it. He said, well, you don't have an eraser. What if you make mistakes? He said, well, I won't make the mistakes. Showing the arrogance, you know, of the applicant. And he said, well, I have a pencil here that has an eraser on it. Would you like that? No, I don't want that. Well, he pointed out, and I thought it was a very good illustration, how God has given us an opportunity to write our own life story. And he's given us an eraser called the blood of Jesus Christ. And where you have made mistakes in your life, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. And God has given you an eraser. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. But you've got to handle that eraser. You've got to take it. You've got to yourself scribble it up. And then he went on to say how the devil's like a deep sea diver. And he could see where under stress, you know, you're really pressed. You were pressing down, and so when you erase it, you could still see what's there. He could still kind of feel what's there. You know, they have a way of looking at what somebody wrote on a piece of paper. They take a pencil and they write over the whole thing, and you can kind of see it stand out because the lead skips over the indentations. Well, it seems like to me when we're under stress, you know, we press. Well, it takes a lot of erasing when you press. Now think of it in the natural. Now if you write lightly, it's easy to erase it and move on. If we realize that there's relaxation under the seventh seal, then our life ought to be not pressing. Because when you press, you get in trouble. A lot of times you press to do something, you get a speeding ticket. Or you get this or you get that. You see? Well, relaxation under the seventh seal, let's begin to just relax. God has everything under control. The world situation is crumbling all around us. Brother Brown preached a message 50 years ago. The world falling apart, 45 years ago. And it is falling apart. It hasn't fallen completely because we're still here. But God has a bride. We read it this morning. Why? Because she's predestinated to be there. There's going to be one. Count yourself part of that. Get the eraser out. Look at your life. Where you've made mistakes, apply the blood. Brother Brown said, every man has a punch coming, but he said, that's the thing you have to keep covered all the time. What do you keep it covered with? The blood of Jesus. You see? All right. So you see, there's a certain way she's to prepare herself and adorn herself for her husband. In fact, the scripture tells us that the bride hath made herself ready. She's used the eraser. See, she's taking the pardon as a pardon. That's Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, I hope you're getting this. What was her linen made from that made it appear to be so white and clean? The righteousness of the saints. Righteousness, as in right wiseness. That's what the old English means, right wiseness. She had a correct understanding of the word and the condition she was to present herself in. And it is called the righteousness of the saints, not the ain'ts, or as Brother Branham would say, the haints. The saints, which are the sanctified ones who are set aside for service. And he said unto me, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. Now, no man likes to see his wife old and frumpy looking. In fact, show me a husband that doesn't mind his wife looking like a hag, and I'll show you a man that is either blind or is so obese and disheveled himself that looking at her is a step up for him. No. Every man wants his bride to always look like $1 million, like the woman he married. Not an old witch. He married the girl of his dreams. So listen, ladies, you can look your best for your man and it's not going to kill you. And listen, guys, you can try to keep your youthful trim and it isn't going to kill you either to do it. It may kill you if you don't do it. So Brother Ram says in paragraph 9, the true bride, like Mary, will have a virgin womb for the bride of the Word, which is Christ. When Christ the Word comes to the bride, she'll be the same as He is, a virgin by the Word. I hope it's going over, Brother Neville. See. I hope you understand, what was He? He was the Word of God. Upon His vesture, He had a name written, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He is God, and God is the Word, and when His bride comes, she'll be in the same product that He is. Or she'll be the same product as He is. The virgin, He says. Virgin to what? Virgin to the Word of God. That's where God placed His DNA in the body that He prepared for His Son. He placed it in a virgin womb, one that wasn't touched, one that wasn't polluted. An untouched womb. And that is where God wants to place His Word in you, in an untouched womb of your mind. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be you also holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now Peter is speaking of girding up the loins of your mind, and that is where the womb is. The womb of the Spirit is in the loins of your mind. From the Spoken Words Original Seed, paragraph 88, which we'll be coming to in who knows, maybe a month, maybe 3 months, I don't know. When we get there, we get there. But Brother Ram said, the only way that we can ever be born again is first in the womb of the mind. Receive the Word. And then the Spirit comes on top of that and brings it. There you are. That's what does it. That's the real gospel teaching, brother. I believe if St. Paul was standing here today, he'd be teaching the same thing. Amen. This is the hour. All right. So we are looking at a condition of the mind that is virgin, not polluted and full of man's reasoning. And he said in paragraph 55, so the sperm of Eve never happened. Hybrid to Satan's lie, his lovely bride become polluted. Now from Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, from the translation called The Message, it's a new one. He said, God called to the man, where are you? And he said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. God said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from that tree that I told you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me fruit from that tree, and yes, I ate it. God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman replied, the serpent seduced me, she said, and I ate. God told the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed. Cursed be on all cattle and wild animals, cursed to slink in your belly and eat dirt all your life. I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head, you'll wound his heel. He told the woman, I'll multiply your pains in childbirth. You'll give birth to your babies in pain. You'll want to please your husband, but he'll lord it over you. He told the man, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from, don't eat from this tree. The very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be painful as having babies is for your wife. You'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You'll get your food the hard way, planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in the fields from dawn to dusk until you return to that ground yourself, dead and buried. You started out as dirt, you'll end up as dirt. The man known as Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Pretty good translation. And so Brother Brown says, and so was Christ's bride. The bride that made her, the bride, What made her become polluted? Adam's bride now? Because she never stayed with God's word. That's right. And I ask now, if it's not so, don't say it. But if it is so, say it. The reason that Adam's bride, there's the three, Adam, Christ, God. The reason that Adam's bride never did bear the right life child is because she disbelieved God's word. If that's right, say amen. The reason that Jehovah's wife was put away, or his bride, was because that she rejected God's word, the prophets. Is that right? And the reason that Christ's bride is put away in divorcement is because that she has rejected the word of God like Eve did, like the rest of them did, exactly all whores, all polluted. Their husband couldn't get to them. They was already pregnated before their husbands got to them. Oh God, if that ain't a pitiful sight. Think of a young man coming to a woman and finding her with seed of some other man in her. What a thing. That's what God's done. That's what Adam done. That's what Christ has done. Oh my. You see what a polluted condition? And so God is looking at the womb of your mind. And he can't get to the people today. Their minds are so polluted. You try to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Who needs that? Stupid religion. So we're looking at the condition of your mind, and it's either pure and clean and undefiled, or it's dirty, vulgar, and polluted with the thoughts of man. And how do you know what is in there? By their fruits you shall know them, Jesus said. Out of the heart speaketh the mouth. So if there's a lot of cussing and cursing going on, a lot of four-letter words going on, there's a lot of four-letter words in the womb of your mind. It's polluted. Matthew 15, verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, his people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. So listen to your own words carefully. For we read in Matthew 12:37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, if you think you're beyond correction, let me tell you one thing. You're lost. You're lost. The bride will always take correction by the word. Always take correction by the word. Mary said what? Be it done unto me according to thy word. Be it done unto me. Whatever God, whatever you would have for me to do, be it done unto me according to thy word. Now, from paragraph 60 of the Spoken Word's original seat, Brother Branham said, did Christ belong to a denomination? Did Jehovah? Neither does his bride. She's part of him. She needs no dogma. She won't have any. She'll be absolutely virgin. How? By the word. Amen. She'll punctuate every word of God, every word that God says with an amen. Amen. Oh, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Oh my. There you are. Punctuate God's word. Have a virgin womb. What will she come out of? A virgin womb. The word. What did Jesus come out of? A virgin womb. See? Now notice in the book of Revelation chapter 22 verse 17, we come to this place. Because remember in 21, she's the New Jerusalem comes like a bride prepared and adorned for her husband. Now 22, the husband and the wife are together. Okay? The beautiful picture of Revelation 21 and 22 is that he's talking about a bride, and what does he talk about? Her home. The New Jerusalem. What does a bride think of when she gets married? She's going to spend her life with this guy. One of the first things they do? Get the house in order. Let's make this joint, this pad that he had, let's make it into a house. I mean, into a home. Guys build walls. Women dress them up. Make it look like a home. All right? And the Spirit and the bride say one word. So what does the Spirit and the bride say? Revelation 22:17. Now listen, they're both saying the same thing here. And what are they saying? They're saying, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So then why do we have such an attitude among message churches that are so closed off from anyone who's not in their camp? We just had to deal with that in Poland. I found out that there was a church there that was there this year because we took over the meetings ourselves. And believe me, in the future, I'm going to take full charge of all the meetings because twice I've been burned now. In Poland last year, we find out this year, there was a church of young believers, lots of young people, teenagers, people in their 20s, just a whole thriving group. And when I went to talk with them right after the wedding, while we're waiting for the reception and things, I went over to talk with them. And just the words coming out of my mouth and the prayer, these people just wept before God. They were so grateful to hear the promises that God has for His children. And they were denied access to our meetings last year. Denied access. On what grounds? Because they weren't believers of the doctrine. They didn't follow Brother Vail. They didn't know about Brother Vail. A couple years back, 2006, I went with Brother Erling down to Peru. We had a meeting in the morning. There was only 8 ministers there. I was wondering, well, what's going on? There's only 8 ministers here. That evening, we had 35 ministers there. So I began to inquire. I said, why weren't you brothers here in the morning? They said, we weren't invited. You weren't invited? No, it was closed. I said, who gave them the authority to close the meeting? I was so upset, so distraught to think that brothers could close out brothers from hearing the doctrine, from hearing about Jesus Christ, the relationship that God wants us to have. I got so sick that I came down with double pneumonia. Double pneumonia. That one pneumonia could kill a man. Double pneumonia. My lungs were full, both of them. Well, you think, well, so what? Listen, I had to go to Bolivia after that, 14,500 feet, La Paz, above sea level. Almost 3 miles high, and it's rough enough if you've got full capacity of your lungs to take a breath when you get off an airplane. And for 4 hours, you have to go lay down, drink water to get enough oxygen to your brain that you can just not be dizzy. And yet to go there. In fact, Brother Case, you know, who's had now 5, not stints put in, but he had open heart surgery. He had 5 fixes on the stems coming out of his heart. He almost passed away. He almost passed out. Walking between the border between Peru and Bolivia because it was uphill. It was at nighttime. And he just could hardly catch his breath. Come to find out, 2 years later, he had to have heart surgery because there's something constricting his veins. And if your veins are constricted, you feel like you got shortness of breath. That's what it is. You need to get those veins cleaned out. Well, anyway, I was so sick that I could hardly breathe. Then I get home, and we take Sister Van Klink and Brother Case to Costco, and I hear Sister Van Klink cackling. She's laughing. I walked over to the other. I was on the other side of Costco, and I heard her laugh. I walked over to see what it was, and she was laughing because here's a casket. It says it's called the Bryan. So I had a casket named after me. Then the next week I got an invitation to come to Columbia to preach. And then a week after that, I got a death threat. You know, if I come, you know, he says, if you come, he says, I won't be able to attend your funeral because I'll be out hunting down those who are going to kill you. So anyway, then, all I'm saying is, look, you can get, you see this attitude, and it really, really can depress you. It can really cause you ill. When people are so closed that they got this nose up in the air, like Brother Brand said, if it rained, they would drown attitude. That is not Christian. That is not Christ. My brothers and sisters, that spirit that wants to control who comes and who does not come, that is not of God. That isn't the Spirit of Christ. Could you imagine if Brother Branham was exclusive like that? What if he acted like the brethren out there and said, I'll only go to the churches who believe in what I teach. I will only pray for those sick who believe the doctrine as I do. He wouldn't have had a ministry. He would not have had a ministry. But he said, the reason why my ministry was so successful is because I love the people. Do you love people? Do you love them enough to care for them? Do you love them enough that when they do ill toward others, it grieves you? Because the Spirit is moving through the world and marking those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the city. Or are you callous? You have this attitude, well, they're lost anyway. The Bible said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. You know that little fish, Brother Ram said that he had the attitude, well, I better drink sparingly of this ocean because I might drink it dry. He said, you know how ridiculous that is? There's enough water flowing from the tree of life, the river of life. There's enough there for everyone to drink that you can get to drink. And the Spirit, the Spirit, God's Spirit, and His Bride, the Bride, say come. They're saying the same thing, come. Can I read that again? The Spirit, and there's only one the Spirit, and that's the Spirit of God. So God's Spirit and the Bride say the same thing, and that is come. And the Spirit and the Bride say to him that heareth, we say, come. And look, that is anyone who hears, let them come for more. It doesn't even say they have to believe. It says, if they are willing to hear, let them come. And him that is athirst, we say, come. And whosoever will, we say, let him take of the water of life freely. Yes, freely. Not for gain. Freely. The bride is not in this to make money. She's not in it to build herself a kingdom. She's only concerned for one kingdom, and that's His kingdom. She is in this to say the same thing that the Spirit says. The Spirit, God's Spirit, and that is come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You have placed it upon our heart to say the same thing, and that is to come. Come and drink of this which gives me life. As Jesus said, my meat, my energy, my source of energy is to do the will of Him that sent me. And if somehow, Father, we can give of this and allow others to drink of it, then that life-giving word can bring life to those bodies of death as well. We know there's one who sows, another who plants, another who waters. But Father, we do know that it is You that give the increase. But that's not our responsibility, which is increased or not. Our responsibility is this message has been sown. Help us to water. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if we water, those that are athirst will drink. Well, God bless you. Let's just sing that song. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which
which I have committed unto him against that